Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to this service. Notices, there are notice sheets that you all have, and I would urge you to read them at home, take them away first and read them at home. The highlights would be the Monday lunch, which is at the Red Lion at 12 o'clock today. The APCM for our church is on the 29th of March at St. Margaret's. We'll be in the sanctuary. There's no Thirsty Thursday on Thursday because it's Maundy Thursday and we have a service. The Easter Monday walk, 10th of April. And let's see. Oh, yes. Reminder of the Village Hall coronation afternoon tea, Sunday the 7th of May. And Lighthouse, Monday the 24th of July to Friday the 28th of July. Okay, anyway, you can see all the details there and we will be praying later on. Well, let's start with a prayer for our interregnum, which I will say. Gracious God, you are with us always. We thank you for guiding us by your Spirit through our life together as church. We pray that we may hear your voice in this time of waiting. Grant us patience, grant us vision, and grant us courage as we seek a new priest for our two churches. We pray especially for those who are making those difficult decisions. And by your grace, lead us to be a more Christ-like church, a church that is contemplative, compassionate, and courageous, because we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you. And we take up our sheets. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And our first hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, number 9.
Extol him in whose power. Crown him, crown him, Lord of all.
That with the honor sacred tongue, we at his feet may fall.
Please be seated. Before we start, I have a confession to make. I didn't mention the Parish Magazine. Parish Magazine is in the sanctuary, and it is in bags and baskets, or boxes. Boxes, yes. The boxes are there because people haven't returned their bags. So would you remember, please, to return your bags? And if anybody hasn't returned yet, please return them. Thank you very much. I've got my confession over now. Now we've all got our confession. So before God, with the people of God, I confess my brokenness in the ways I wound my life and the lives of others and the life of the world. So may God forgive us, Christ renew us, and the Spirit enable us to grow in love. And the collect. Gracious Father, you gave up your Son out of love for the world. Lead us to ponder the mysteries of his passion, that we may know eternal peace through the shedding of our Saviour's blood. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, Jean and Mary will read to us from the Bible.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, beginning to read at verse 1. It's the Valley of the Bones. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. So our next hymn is Breathe on Me, Breath of God, number 51. Please be seated. A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus was now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, Let us go back to the Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they will see by this world's light. But when a person walks at night, that they stumble, for they have no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But I know even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with the strips of linen and the cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave's clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. He's dead. She has died. Those are the words we dread to hear. Especially painful when someone close to us, someone who has meant a lot to us, has died. How are we expected to cope when the hurt that comes with death hits us and knocks us for six? How can we deal with the pain, the emptiness, the questioning, the helplessness, and the yearning for things to be different? A father tells his experience. This is what he said. The rays of late morning sun struck me full on the face as I stepped through the door of the hospital. I had spent several hours with my sobbing wife. Now I was about to keep the appointment that would prove to be the emotional climax of the day, and my world collapsed. I made my way to a large white house. I followed the owner into a large room where he stood and left me alone. I slowly made my way across a thick rug on the floor to a table on the far side of the room. Upon that table was a white box. I stood before that white box for endless eternities before I finally summoned enough courage to look over the top and down into the white box at the lifeless body of my son. I'm sure Mary and Martha must have experienced something like this when Lazarus died. He had been sick. They'd sent a message to tell Jesus that Lazarus was ill, but Jesus didn't come straight away. There's no doubt that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus dearly, but he deliberately stalls for 2 days. And so by the time he gets to Bethany, Lazarus has already died. In fact, the funeral has already happened. And the body of Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. Death brings an end to life in this world. I believe there's a tinge of a rebuke and regret in Martha's words that Jesus had taken so long to get here. She said, "If you'd been here, Lord, my brother would not have died." Jesus sees the tears and the grief, and he weeps with them. Jesus weeps not because he is sad that Lazarus has left his life. He made a point earlier to his disciples that the death of Lazarus was only temporary. He had told his disciples that there was a purpose behind the death of his good friend. Through this tragedy, he wanted them to realize that he really is the Son of God, and so believe in him. Jesus weeps with Mary and Martha because he knows what pain and sense of loss brings with death. His tears are tears of compassion. He can see how much the two women were hurting and how deeply the death of Lazarus had affected them. He is saddened at the power that death has and the terrible suffering it causes. And Jesus weeps because it's not right that a life is suddenly cut short because of illness or accident. He hates death as much as anybody else. He weeps because he knows that the rising of Lazarus will lead to his own death. He weeps because of the grief and pain that his own death will bring to the lives of those whom he loves, his own mother and the disciples. Perhaps he's also saddened by the lack of trust. Yes, they believed he could heal the sick, the blind and the paralyzed, and feed a large crowd of people from a boy's lunchbox. But death, that was another thing. Death is so final. Jesus may have brought the daughter of Lazarus back to life and raised the widow's son at Nain. They were brought back to life soon after their deaths. But Lazarus has been dead in the grave for 4 days. He was already decomposing. It was beyond their wildest imaginations to think that Jesus could raise a person in such a condition. Even Martha must have been surprised. She had early confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, but had no idea that Jesus had such power even over death. As far as those gathered at the grave that day were concerned, death is death, and when it comes, it is final. Absolute, the end. Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And a dead man, a once dead man, walked out from the tomb, his hands, feet, and face still bound up with the burial cloths. A few years ago, a letter was sent to a deceased person by a Department of Social Services. It read as follows: "Your social security checks will be stopped in March because we received notice that you had passed away. May God bless you. You may reapply if there's a change in your circumstances." Unless your name is Lazarus, there haven't been too many who've been seen a change in those circumstances. Lazarus was dead. At the command of Jesus, he is reunited with his sisters and friends and Jesus. Death has done its worst, but Jesus changed their mourning into dancing and joy. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, where he will experience the fear and dread and the pain and suffering that death brings. Straight after this incident at Bethany, we hear that Caiaphas and the council plotting against Jesus to find their way to kill him without causing too much disturbance. Jesus is sentenced to death on the cross. He deals us with the cause of our death, our sin. Jesus died, but he came alive again. His resurrection was an announcement to the whole world that death has been swallowed up by victory. There is now nothing to be afraid of. Now, on the other side of death, there is glorious hope of life, eternal life, life in heaven, a blissful life, a perfect life. This life is something to look forward to, not with fear, but with confidence. Death is a very powerful force in our world. When it strikes close to us, its dreadful power is felt to the very core of our being. But as powerful as death might be, there is one who is even more powerful, the risen Jesus. One day he will call to us as he called out to Lazarus, and we too will walk out of the tomb. Lazarus would eventually die again, but we shall be raised to life forever in heaven. And this will be a new life. A life without the present hurts and hindrances. A life with all those saints who've gone before us. When Martin Luther's daughter Magdalena was 14 years old, she was taken sick and lay dying. Luther prayed, "Oh God, I love her so, but nevertheless, your will be done." And as they laid her to rest, he said, "Oh, my dear Magdalena, you will rise and shine like the stars in the sun. How strange to be so sorrowful, and yet to know that all is peace and that all is well." In our hour of need, when death causes pain and grief, God's Spirit reminds us through the promises of Scriptures that we have a Saviour who is ready to comfort us, make us calm, and sympathise with us. And when our last hour comes, we are sure we will not walk alone, but walk in the presence of our loving Saviour. Jesus assures us, "Those who believe in me will live, even though they die, and those who live and believe in me will never die." Amen. Our next hymn, "When We Walk With the Lord," number 599, "Trust and Obey."
Thank you.
And now Roy will come and pray for us. Please sit, be seated.
Lord, autumn sees the heat of late summer dry the flowers, leaves, and tall grasses. They have given us such joy, but as with all things, they must shrivel and die. Yet now, Lord, as spring returns, you will breathe new life into them. Once again, life will emerge from the dark coldness of winter. We thank you, Lord, for the coming rebirth. Lord, in your mercy. As with flowers, leaves, and grasses, we also will succumb to life's winter. Yet in your care, Lord, our spirits will live on, an everlasting life in your presence. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Anticipating the joys of summer warmth in our beautiful Chiltern Hills, let us reflect on the terrors of those suffering in the evils of war in Ukraine, on those struggling to feed their families, those seeking refuge from cruel regimes, and those separated from their loved ones. Lord, wrap their suffering in the cloak of your love. Lord, in your mercy. As we approach the appointment of our new vicar, help us, Lord, to prepare an unconditional Christian welcome, to be open to change, to new ideas, to new ways of entering your kingdom. Let us welcome and celebrate a new chapter in the life of St. Margaret's. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, as summer approaches, let us cast our minds back to the summers of our childhood, to the bucket and spade happiness on warm beaches, running in and out of the sea, then back to the embrace of our parents and grandparents, all in the warmth of your love. Thank you, Lord, for those times and those memories. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, let us take a moment to pray silently for those named in our pew sheet and others known to us who are suffering from ill health and other issues. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, let us say together the prayer you gave to us. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And now let us stand and declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As we stand, we sing our final offertory hymn, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
Thank you.
you. Now we have the grace. Just to say that that's my favourite tune on that hymn. I'm sure that you know another one. So if you face each other over the aisle. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. And the blessing. Lord Jesus Christ, you have taught us that what we do for the least of our brothers and sisters, we also do for you. Give us the will to be the servant of others, as you were servant of all, and gave up your life and died for us, but are alive and reign now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Coffee time.